Time for our weekly visit with Adam Schefter, our NFL insider from ESPN, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Check out their website at betterplantoday.com and schedule a free consultation. Adam, how are you this week, sir?
Hey, Adam.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
We are good. Great. Hail to the victors. Congratulations. Impressive win over Wisconsin this weekend.
Yeah, the team played well. The team obviously was impressive. We'll need to be that way the next 2 weeks against Michigan State and Penn State.
Speaking of not playing well, the New York Giants, and you know, you've already talked about on TVM today, I'm sure, a zillion times about Mara, OBJ. I'm waiting for the response from OBJ and your whole take of this entire situation.
Well, I think that Odell said some things that were valid, but there's a time and a place to say them. Mm-hmm. And on national TV, sitting next to Little Wayne, is to do that. If you want to sit down with your head coach or your quarterback and express that to them probably, no issues with that. Look, he wanted the contract. That was the big deal. And he got the contract. And you have to be very careful. You are the face of a franchise. You are a leader. And I think that you can't say that about teammates publicly. And you can't say that about your city either. Like, this city just rewarded you to stay there long-term with a $90-plus million contract. How do you feel about New York?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where your fan base lives. And I just think that you have to think about everything that you're going to say publicly. And you could think all those things, too, by the way. You could say, you know what? I can't stand playing New York. It's fishbowl. You could think Eli Manning's a horrible quarterback. Really wish I played with another guy that threw the ball more downfield. You could think anything you want. But you don't have to say that.
Do you think your gut feeling, Adam, that after we saw Eli continue to struggle, and you said some of the things that Odell Beckham Jr. said were valid, do you think that Eli, in your gut feeling, finishes the year as a Giant? Does he get traded October 30th? Does he get benched at some point? What does your gut tell you right now?
Well, I would say this. I would like to see them trade him. I think that would be a fitting way where he could go to a team. Jacksonville does make a lot of sense. I don't think that it's realistic. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that it won't happen. I don't think that happens. It just doesn't seem like it's something that is on their agenda. It's not the Giant way. And it's hard to see that he would play this way all year long and continue to hold that job either. So something's got to give one way or another, right? My guess would be, if I had to assess this situation, is that they're going to lean on him as long as they possibly can until he gives them a reason to bench him, despite the fact that he struggled some. And who do you want them to turn to? You want them to turn right now to Kyle Uletti? You think he's going to be that much better? I mean, the fact of the matter is they're going to be in the draft and they're going to be looking for a quarterback in the draft again. And they want to win and they're going to try to win. And this is not the way anyone in the organization is thinking, but probably the more they lose, the better pick they get, the better it is for them long term.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost what, five out of six. They're at Atlanta. They're home against the Redskins. They're at the 49ers. I mean, I'm just wondering how long. What if they lose those three games in a row? I mean, I liked him at Richmond. I thought he was my sleeper. I was when the Patriots took him at him, to be honest with you, at the beginning of the draft, but. What is it going to take if he loses the next three games? Even if it's, by 10 points or, I mean, how long do you stay with him? Is it worth it?
But again, what are the choices? You want to go to Kyle Lauletta? You think Kyle Lauletta is going to be that much better on a team that has Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram and Saquon? You think Kyle Lauletta increases the chances that they're going to win games? You tell me.
Right now, I'd have to see it in practice, but right now, all I know is Eli Manning is lost by 21. Okay, Panthers tough loss on that one. They could have won that game. Gano makes the big field goal at the end. The Panthers. It just doesn't look right. I agree with you. I think the guy, if he got traded to Jacksonville, maybe a fresh scenery, a familiar face, and Tom Coughlin might do him some good. But I just don't know if you're a Giants fan and they keep losing all these games. You're right. What good is? I mean, will the letter be better? Probably not. But
no.
What does it
no,
take? But what if they don't win another game the rest of the year?
Well, then they go to get the first pick in the draft and go get the quarterback. That's great.
Yeah, they get Herbert from Oregon, who they love anyway, right? They've been out there four or five weeks.
If he comes out, which again, you would think he would, but I've spoken to people who are not convinced he will.
We're talking with Adam Schefter with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Another story a little closer to home that kind of, I won't say took us by surprise, but we watched it develop late in the week, was Ryan Tannehill with the Dolphins, and all of a sudden Thursday comes along. I think it was Thursday or maybe Friday.
He was put as
questionable for a shoulder injury that he suffered in week three, apparently, we're learning. And then Brock Osweiler lights it up this weekend against the Bears. But Adam Gase's response after the game is what surprised me the most. He's like, I don't know, talk to that guy. I'm tired about talking about this guy. I was surprised by the Adam Gase's tone, but can you shed any more light on the quarterback situation, the injury to Ryan Tannehill?
You know, I think people have been very intrigued about his tone and why he reacted the way he did. And the only thing I could say, I'm not excusing it in any way, I'm just trying to figure it out, is the fact that these coaches are asked about the quarterback all the time. And I just think they get tired of it and they're irritated by it. Now, they just won a huge game. They won it with Brock Osweiler. It's a huge credit to the whole team. And I think when Adam Gase did that, it took some of the focus off what the players did and put it on him for his reaction. Now, again, his team, his press conference, his way of handling things. So, again, but I just think that these coaches sometimes get irritated with all the quarterback questions. I think as it related to Ryan Tannehill last week, the longer the week went on and the more he struggled, the more you sense that this is a real possibility. And on Saturday, it was interesting. When you reach out to Dolphins officials, when you reach out to people connected to Ryan Tannehill, and nobody responds, nobody,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, something's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going on here. Because when nobody's responding, they are responding. They're telling me something by not responding.
Well, are you telling me Adam Schefter's calls go unanswered over the weekend?
Impossible.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, that does happen. That does happen.
But do you think your gut feeling about the Dolphins, should Tannehill's injury be a little more serious than we think, and it's all of a sudden 3, 4, 5 weeks, so is this organization, you think, prepared to go with Brock Osweiler the rest of the way?
Oh, I mean, if they had to, they would. I don't know that we'll get to that point in time. I guess it could happen, but again, they're still calling Ryan Tannehill day to day. But I think it was troubling, the fact that his shoulder regressed. Now, it had been bothering him for some time too. Like, if you go back and look at the injury reports, he had been out a few weeks before. He was on the injury report, the shoulder injury, and then they played the Bengals last week, and I think his shoulder got hammered in that game pretty good, probably aggravated whatever damage had been done at that point in time. And so when he went through the week of practice, the shoulder just went the other way, which is unusual.
Yeah.
And usually players ramp up towards the game. Mm-hmm. The more the week goes on, the more they practice. This was the opposite. He regressed and decreased the amount of reps that he took during the week. Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Another story semi-regionally here that caught our attention. Of course, Mike Smith gets fired as a defensive coordinator. Dirk Koetter, of course, his close friend and his boss, had to let him go. My question to you is, even though they've been giving up 35 points a game, the Buccaneers have, had they won that game, had Sean Jackson made that freakish play on the pitch back at the end of the play, do you think he would have been fired with a win? Or was that just...
Probably would have been granted a reprieve. It's an interesting question, an interesting thought. You know, I think what was surprising was that they were thinking about doing it during the bye week, and they didn't do it. And they brought him into one more game at Atlanta, and we saw the result. It was not favorable, and they decided to make the move. But, you know, look, so much of this league is decided on a simple thing like that. Like, the Bucs failed on that conversion, didn't get the play, and Mike Smith is fired on Monday.
Yeah.
Now, if they got in the play, I don't see too many coordinators fired off a win. It does happen, but it's a little unusual. And my guess is he would have survived another week, but if they had one more meltdown at that point in time, it would be only a question of time, a matter of time before he was let go.
Could you say, I know it's rare that coaches that don't get fired in the middle of the season, I get that, but between Koetter and, you know, possibly Van Joseph, and I can't ever remember an NFL team give up that kind of rushing yardage in consecutive weeks, 3, 4 weeks in a row like that. I mean, they give up running yards like teams give up passing yards. I think it's unbelievable to me to see where that Bronco defense has gone. John Elway called them now very soft as opposed to soft last year. I don't know. Could Koetter and or Van Joseph be in trouble?
Yeah, you know, the issue is, who are you going to hire to go take their place, right? So in Denver, you're not going to promote a defensive coach, and you don't like to take the offensive coach away because he's busy with the game plan. So it leaves you with a special teams coach in Denver, Tom McMahon. They don't know that he can coach as a head coach. And realistically, if they don't win this week and they lose some more games, they're not going to playoffs anyway. So you might as well just give Vance Joseph the majority of the season before you decide to make the move. And the same story in Tampa. Mm-hmm. If you fired Dirk Cutter this week, you're not replacing him with the defensive side of football. You just made changes there. You're not replacing him on the offensive side of football, I don't think. It's Todd Monken who replaced Dirk Cutter as the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. You could always go to the special teams coach, but if the season's slipping away, what are you doing anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know that fans want blood, and they smell blood, and they want changes, and let's cut off heads and hang people publicly. I got it, because people get upset about their football teams, and that's why there's so much passion involving this game. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's not like losing it. Let's go fire the coach.
Yeah.
That's going to solve everything. It's going to solve nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Now, in Dallas, we got the Dallas Morning News. Jeff Sullivan is reporting that there was actually an extension in the works for Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones denies it, says, I've never even said those words to anybody. He's making this stuff out of thin air.
I don't believe that to be true,
extension. I wouldn't either.
All right, another coach I want to get into a little bit. John Gruden's quotes were a little disturbing, a little shocking. When he talked about having to do research to go to London, and then he went into that diatribe about, you know, going to see his son in Belarus, and he has vertigo, and I understand all that, but I'm a little concerned about John Gruden, and I'm concerned, Adam, that I'm wondering if he's actually even going to make it to Vegas by the time they get there. I don't know. I know he's a little bit of an odd duck a little bit, and I respect him. I respect him as a coach, as an analyst. I thought he was great, but my God, I don't know. Something seems a little off, doesn't it?
A lot of money in that contract. Now, again, having watched John, observed him, you know, had the fortune of working with him, which I enjoyed tremendously, he missed coaching, and he was going to go coach at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt about it that he had the Jones to coach again. And I think he was just waiting for what he perceived to be the right opportunity to come along. And this opportunity came along, and you know, it was the Raiders, the team that once traded him, Rich Tradition, Mark Davis offered the money that he did. You know, who's going to turn down $100 million over 10 years?
Not me.
100 plus million. Nobody.
Nobody.
So,
yeah.
And by the way, you know, the longer you're away from the game, the tougher it is to get back in. So if he was ever going to make the move, this was going to be the time to go make that move. And he did. And he headed in there. And again, so far, it has not worked out the way that people would like. And, you know, that's this year. Next year could be something entirely different. We'll see. But the early results are not promising.
But just a quick follow-up. But, I mean, with the Khalil Mack mismanagement and then coming out, you know, days later and saying, you know, it's tough to find an elite pass rusher. And Derek Carr recently saying, rebuilding. I don't want none of that nonsense. I might rebuild. I mean, there seems to be – I mean, obviously the record proves it. There seems to be – some friction there, but Derek Carr wants to hear nothing about rebuilding. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for everybody, you know, it looks like it's going to be a lost season for the Oakland Raiders.
And along those lines, I read a report earlier today that Amari Cooper is being shopped around. John Gruden says no. And with the rebuild comments, you wonder if everybody's on the trade block. But anything to the Amari Cooper one?
I think they've had some conversations with some teams. I think his name has come up. I you know, the teams I spoke to last week did not believe it to be serious. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not traded, but I think if he were traded, I'd be a little surprised. But, look, anything's possible with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's the game plan with Le'Veon Bell as far as we know? I thought he'd be showing up today.
You want me to read the mind of somebody who his own team can't even get a handle on? Look, the only thing I know is that there were people who thought he would be in there this week. He's not. The Steelers basically don't expect him till next week, if then. And so we've got a situation where, you know, I would think he'll be back next week, but nobody really knows for sure.
Well, help me out with the deadlines, because we all know that. Well, we said he had to be there through week 10 to get his years or his credit.
Yeah, but the truth is, he still would be a free agent at the end of the year. I mean, contract would toll, but it's a little confusing. The bottom line is, the longer he stays away, he's just bypassing the chance to make $855,000 a week. Now, again, this is a bye week. He would have made $855,000 for showing up there this week and doing nothing, and he didn't do that. So I don't understand, like, why he wouldn't be there today, signing on the bottom line to finish out the season, to get in shape to play against Cleveland.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's not there this week, if I were a Steelers fan and I wanted him back on the field, I would be a little troubled by that, because that's not a good sign.
No. Oh, and I agree with you completely. And what about his teammates? I mean, they've already come out once, the offensive line, and bashed him. And I'm wondering now, a lot of guys, you know, giving him a second chance, this, that, and the other thing. Forget the fans. I got to believe that locker room must be completely agitated. They got to be pissed off as all hell, Adam, don't you think?
My guess would be that, we heard the Steelers talk earlier in the year. And they were, you know, they expressed displeasure with him. And I think, you know, that was going to create an awkward situation for whenever he did come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Final question for me, Adam. What was your reaction when you saw Breland Speaks kind of slide off of Tom Brady and then say, well, I didn't want to get the penalty thrown on me, and then he ends up scoring a touchdown? What did you think when you saw that? And what did you think about his explanation?
Well, look, you know, the league has created these rules to favor the quarterback, and it's a difficult thing. I think the league is still trying to struggle to figure out how to do this and how to implement the right rules and whatnot, because it's just nobody really understands what to expect on a week-to-week basis. It's different from crew to crew, from week to week, from game to game, and that's been the hard thing for players to get used to. It's hard enough rule as it is to slow down your momentum or change the course of how you're going to collide with the quarterback, but then, you know, you can put some weight on, but not all your weight. Like, what does that mean? Is that 50 pounds? How are we met? I mean, it's kind of crazy. So I think everybody's just trying to figure out what they can and can't do, and it's difficult for defensive players.
Well, final question for me, of course. So you are the you're right up there with Woj as the NBA, you know, insider now as well. So the NBA season is starting tonight.
Yeah.
Who's your – just one question, real simple. What is the way, 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 way too early final pick from Adam Schefter, East and West?
I think I probably would take Boston versus Golden State. And it's hard not to take Golden State, right?
Yep.
And I think Boston will be very good. I'm sure that's probably a very conventional standard pick. But it'd be tough to go against that right now. So I'll say you know what? Actually, I'm going to change it.
Oh, we got a wild card coming. There we go.
Audible.
I'm going to go Philadelphia Golden State.
Oh, all right. Joel Embiid and company.
I liked you a lot you just said that.
I like even more. All right, Adam. As always, it is a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining
Adam.
Us. Talk to you next
week. Have a great week. We'll talk next week. Enjoy the start of the NBA season.
You got it. Thank you. That is Adam Schefter, our NFL and NBA
Dead
insider.
To me. Dead to me.